This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tide.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. Two Republican lawmakers are working on a plan that would turn over control of several struggling Milwaukee public schools to an independent body. Details of the plan by Representative Dale Kuinga and Senator Alberta Darling emerged this week, although no bill has yet been introduced.
The plan would see control of three schools turned over to the separate entity in the first year. That group would be overseen by County Executive Chris Abley. The plan is being met with stiff opposition by members of the MPS school board and by others who believe it would make it even harder for the district to succeed. Erin Richards covers education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she joins us now to help analyze the proposal. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
The stories that have come out this week on this new plan by Representative Kuinga and Senator Darling have come out before the proposed legislation has actually been released. Is there a sense that these details are testing the waters, essentially?
I think that's part of the case. Kuinga and Darling want to get some feedback from the community, from school leaders, from political leaders about how this proposal might work. They're also in crunch time. This is the we're down to the wire on revising the governor's budget. And there's two options for this proposal. It could get drafted into its own individual bill, or it could be wrapped into the state budget. The latter would mean it would have a better chance of getting through. We know things in the budget tend to go through sometimes a little bit easier if you can approve it as a package. The question is, can the details of this be hammered out in time? The second question is, are there the votes there for it in the legislature? And if it's going through the budget process, then are there the votes for it on the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, and this is not the first time people in the legislature have offered or threatened, depending on how you look at it, to step in and do something in regard to struggling schools. Is this plan likely to have any more traction than other measures in the past?
I think that's a big question. I think it goes to, are there the votes for it? The Republicans control both houses of the legislature, and the lawmakers have said that Governor Walker is behind this. But, it's probably going to come back a lot to the amount of pushback the proposal gets. We saw a similar proposal in 2009 when former Governor Doyle worked with Mayor Tom Barrett to propose a mayoral takeover of the school district. It fell flat big time. The grassroots community groups in Milwaukee, the teachers union, really came out strongly against it, and they were very well organized, and they, really turned public sentiment against that, and it didn't go through. So I think part of it is going to be stakeholder reaction this time.
Well, how do the two sponsors explain the need to essentially remove some schools from direct school district control in order to raise their performance?
There's been a lot of sentiment, especially among Republicans and some conservatives, that the school board has actually inhibited progress for Milwaukee Public Schools, and that Milwaukee Public Schools is a giant bureaucracy. Things tend to stay the same. There isn't enough progress. These schools have had chronically low achievement for decades, and we have to try something different. The idea from these Republican lawmakers is that if you remove a layer of bureaucracy, if you take the school board out of the picture, have these schools be directly run by the commissioner, overseen by a separate governmental entity, that would be the county executive, that you'd be able to do some more radical change at the school. You'd be able to trade out some staff. Teachers would be on likely one-year contracts. You'd be able to change the curriculum. You'd have a more streamlined school operation, and that could spark some change. There's also, there are some charter schools in the city that are independent of the district. There are some voucher schools. Those are private schools that get public money in the city. And they do, in some cases, have some higher test scores than the district. And a lot of the conservatives look at those schools and say, why can't everybody be like this?
Well, and opponents of measures like this go to some lengths to point out that these proposals almost inevitably come from people who represent districts far from or certainly outside of where the underperforming schools are located.
Darling and Kuinga represent two of the highest income suburbs of Milwaukee, and that point has not been lost on people that are in the trenches of working in Milwaukee. And if you haven't been to some of these really low-performing schools, which are almost inevitably high, high poverty schools. Kids come without having the kind of educational background that middle-income kids come from. Most times they, you know, have fractured home lives. Just getting to school is a hurdle, much less taking an exam that tries to test them on their achievement for the year. There have been points made that poverty plays an extreme role in the low achievement here, and Milwaukee is probably behind Detroit, one of the poorest urban centers in America right now. And so to say that you're just going to change the governance and that these schools are going to improve because they can bypass the school board, you know, we don't have a lot of evidence of that happening resoundingly everywhere this type of governance has been tried.
Well, and what sort of accountability standards do the sponsors say might be built into this plan?
They haven't talked a lot about what the metrics would be after this change would happen about saying, okay, is this working? I imagine that it would probably include some kind of look at state test scores. That could be difficult considering how often the state test seems to be either changing or in limbo. You could look at things like attendance rate. You could look at things like teacher turnover. You could look at student retention, how many kids come back the next year. But, you know, we haven't gotten really deep into the details of how these would be measured over time.
And this is a big rub in places that have incorporated the so-called recovery district model like New Orleans, where depending on how you read the accountability results, these schools are either doing much better or not doing any better at all.
That's true. I mean, you can look at there is so much data out there on kids and scores, and depending on what data you look at, you can tell a different story. You know, that we've seen this sort of change in governance model tried in a bunch of different cities. New Orleans is probably the longest running example. Almost every public school there is now a charter school, a public charter school, rather than a fleet of public schools that answer to a single school board. We've seen this model tried in Tennessee with an achievement district there. We've seen this in Detroit as well. There's been lots of data about these programs, but I don't think any of them has shown that, oh my goodness, this was the magic bullet. You know, these schools look great now. I mean, they're for as many highs as they have, there are some lows as well.
Well, and you mentioned that the state of assessments in Wisconsin is really still in flux. And so how much of that situation has to be unpacked or wrapped up before a plan like this one could go into place?
Well, they're similar but related issues. The reason why the state test is such a hot topic at the moment is not only the fact that it's a new test. It was supposed to be very technologically advanced.
This is the Badger exam.
Badger exam, yes. And this is the test that a lot of other states have given a version of it because it's tied to the new Common Core state standards. And this test is used to – any state achievement test is used to try to say at the end of the year or, you know, after a year worth of instruction, how did these kids do? And for the most part, kids in well-resourced suburban schools or any well-resourced school tend to score pretty well on state tests. And kids in really low-income schools don't score so well on state tests. There's lots of evidence to support that. And if the metric used is how kids did on this test, then these schools in low-income areas may often be the ones that aren't looking so great. We do have some examples of schools in Milwaukee and in other high-poverty areas that get higher than average state results. And so there's a lot of attention to what are those schools doing that's having them work. The argument from MPS Superintendent Darian Driver and the school board and the teachers' union is give us time to spread these practices at schools that are high poverty to schools that aren't doing so well. We can do that. There's two initiatives right now that are happening in MPS. One's funded by the GE Foundation. Another one is an effort that had the school board and the district pick some schools that needed some of that extra behavioral academic interventions. And so they got them some extra money to work on those. And the district is saying, hey, there's some small signs of success so far. So we'd like to keep doing that. But still, what people are going to go to every year is looking at those annual state test scores. That's what the school report cards that are issued by the state are based on. And partly this becomes a discussion of, you know, we're about to enter several years here where those aren't going to be very reliable. If you take a different test every year, it's hard to say from year to year how these schools are doing. If it's a new test, in some level you can look at how all the schools did on a single test that year, but it's very hard to make year-to-year comparisons.
Well, so really we're at the point where we aren't even able to assess the assessment.
That is true. I mean, we're at that point right now, especially with the proposal on the table from Governor Walker and his budget to drop the Badger exam after its first year of implementation. The State Department of Public Instruction has put out a request for another vendor who can supply a different test. And I think the debate is going to be, what's the best test to use? And if parents are really concerned about how many tests their kids are taking, you know, what one are we going to go with that sort of satisfies this need to see how kids are doing year to year, and one that doesn't overburden schools, especially low-income schools that have so many other issues to worry about, you know, that doesn't sort of – testing doesn't just take over the amount of and quality of instruction we'd like kids to have.
There's one more name who is involved in this who is not a sponsor of the legislation but would find himself right in the middle of everything. Where does Chris Abele fall in this dynamic?
You know, it's interesting. I think Chris Abele was probably a little bit surprised to see the details of this, which were leaked. I mean, the email went out. It wasn't intended to be public yet. But if you send out an email to a lot of people in different aspects of the education community.
But it shouldn't be surprising.
Exactly. So his office and his statement that he released on Monday said, essentially, I knew this was brewing. It didn't sound like he had a full commitment ahead of time. Darling has acknowledged he didn't commit to this ahead of time before the details were leaked. But he did say, if this goes through and if the sentiment is that this is the right thing to do for the city, I am behind the proposal and I'll do my best to do as well in this role as possible. I've been for kids. I've worked with different organizations that have worked with kids in school groups. He also has experience working with public school, sort of groups that are more aligned with the public schools, groups that have kind of crossed sectors, worked with charter schools and the traditional public schools and the private schools. And he said, you know, the lawmakers should know that I'm in favor of non-selective schools, and I'm aware that the more voucher schools we have in this city does have an impact on the district's finances. So as long as lawmakers know that, I could be on board with this.
Is that likely to ease any of the fears of people within MPS, however?
I'm not sure. You know, I think that there's still a lot of discussion to be had about where this is going. I think in the next few days, you're probably going to see a pretty big the anti-takeover crowd is going to come out in full force. So I don't know. You know, I think it would have really fallen flat if the county executive had said, no way, I'm not down with this. But I think that now that he's said, okay, I could do this, I think it's now going to really come back to the amount of feedback and stakeholder input.
To be continued. Aaron Richards, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Aaron Richards covers education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There's a link to her story about proposed changes in control of struggling MPS schools, plus a report from WUWM's Aaron Toner. It's all at WUWM.com.